Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, hello everybody, welcome along to the Rangers Rabble podcast. This is your Monday night phone-in. We've had quite a lot of technical issues. Hopefully now they are sorted, although it seems to not be sorted with Kieran, but we'll just leave that where it is because I'm too stressed to try and deal with anything else tonight. Yes, hello, welcome. I hope you're all well. The phone lines will be open shortly for you to get your calls in. First, let me introduce my co-hosts tonight, the ever-present Scott Kerr. Kerr, how are you?
Aye, all right, Martin. Apart from losing power in my garage, I'm trying to get it fixed. So if anybody knows any electricians, send them my way.
There you go. I'll just put your phone number up on the screen in a wee second and we'll get that. We'll get that sorted. James, my friend, how are you? How are you doing?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Good to be back in the pod after a wee break.
It's always good to get a wee break, isn't it, away from all these idiots, isn't it?
I'm not calling them idiots, mate. They're all bad.
It helps the soul, doesn't it? It absolutely helps the soul. And making his first appearance, and for some reason completely changed his screen, for reasons only known to Kieran. Kieran, how are you? And now we can't hear him. As you can see, the technical issues are flying tonight on the Rabble. Kieran, can we hear you now? No, we can't hear you. So you'll need to go away and fix your audio issues while I just cry into my horns. It's been one of those nights, folks. It's been one of those nights. But listen, we need your help tonight. We need your phone calls. We need your input. Get your calls in now, 01416287237. Robert is waiting at the other end of that phone line to put you through to ourselves. And we seriously, seriously need your input because you're probably fed up listening to what we have got to say. Kieran, are you with us now?
I hope so.
There we go. He's with us now. How are you doing, Kieran? All right?
I better now. I didn't get what happened there, but aye, looking forward to it.
If you could just move a wee tiny bit to your left. Kieran, just you, not whatever you're using, because the last time we done that, it stopped one. It stopped one. Kerr, where will we start the night before we get our first call?
Don't know if you got me any electrician yet, man.
I don't think we've quite got the electrician yet. I tell you what we'll do. We'll start with the St Mirren game, shall we? I think that's the most logical place, because no doubt we're going to get into transfers, and we're going to end up doing that rabbit hole, but let's start with St Mirren. Let's forget about the lineups, etc. Was the performance at all a surprise to you?
No, not really, Martin. I said after the Hibs game that we were going to be a harder game against St Mirren. And it was. Mirren were always going to buck for it. St Mirren are a decent side. They're well disciplined. They know their roles. Hibs are always going to come out and play more football and try and attack it, whereas Sutton never. They sort of a bit deep and try to hit us when you're on the breaker when we lost possession. So it was always going to be a difficult game, but it's these type of performances that wins you the leagues, wins you stuff, because we could have got a draw, we could have lost, but no, we still can. We get 3 points. We never played well, yes, but we bit of credit go, it does go to St Martin, but the manager will know we have to be better. But like I said, end of day, at the end of the season, when you look back, you see 3 points on the board, and that's all we can remember. So I'm happy with 3 points, and we'll move on to the next game.
I know, you know, Kieran, I never expected it to be an easy game, but before I bring you in for your first point, Kieran, I'm praying that this is going to work, right? Because I've had nothing but issues tonight. But we have Chris from Falkirk on the line. Chris, how are you doing?
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. How is everybody?
Aye, no bad, Chris, no bad. We're slowly but surely getting there. What's your point for the guys tonight?
Yeah, just to make a wee bit of a case for Cyril Dessers, really, because I think sometimes he gets a wee bit of unfair slack. For example, he's got 8 goals in the league this season in 19 games, and he's got 3 assists. Now, you compare that to Kyogo, who many people would say would be the benchmark in terms of goal scoring. I've heard people say if somebody like Kyogo that, we would have won the Old Firm games. But you look at Kyogo this season, 23 games, and 8 goals. So he's got the same goals and more games as Cyril Dessers. Now, you look at Dessers overall this season, 33 games he's played, 12 goals, 7 assists. You compare that to Kyogo, 31 appearances, 11 goals and 3 assists. Now, you then go to Alfredo's last season. Now, I know quite a lot of supporters were looking to get Alfredo back. You look at Alfredo, Dessers is only 1 goal away from matching Alfredo's last season at Rangers, because he only scored 12 goals, 7 assists and 48 matches. So I think Cyril Dessers, yes, he misses a lot of good chances and some of them he should score. But I think the slack's a wee bit unfair that he gets. And also, I personally don't think he's the man to lead the line for Rangers over the longer term. But I think he's definitely got a part to play.
Right. Okay, I take your point on board, Chris, and I take your stats, and I completely understand that, right? I completely get that. And listen, there may be people in the comments that agree with you, and I don't like to sit here and disagree with the people that phone up. I certainly don't like to disagree with people who are saying that a Rangers player is better than a Celtic player. But just for what it's worth, from my point of view, no, Kyogo's a far better striker than Cyril Dessers. Kyogo scores goals in important games. Cyril Dessers doesn't. Kyogo's been a massive part of that Celtic team, and I've got some friends who are Celtic supporters who say that it's the way that Brendan Rodgers has come in and implemented his system as to why Kyogo is struggling. Kieran, there is nothing on this planet that would ever convince me that Cyril Dessers is better than Kyogo.
No, I'm in agreement, Martin. I don't think Dessers is better than Kyogo. And what I was saying before is that I do believe there is a player in there. The only thing that gets me with Dessers is it seems every time he has time to think about what he's going to do next is when he freezes. When he's got time to take the shot and think or look for the pass, he either hits it in the stands, hits it directly at the keeper, or just totally misses the target. I feel like when he's kind of his more one-touch finishing, it could be better. But like for the goal against St Mirren, the ball came in. I thought his first touch, he lost the ball. I thought he had played it right to the keeper, but takes a brilliant touch, great finish. I think he's starting to build more and more confidence. I think as the fans are starting to get more on side, that he's starting to kind of get more into his swing of things. Kyogo, like you said, I think he's a great finisher. Unfortunately, he's a great finisher. He hurts teams in different games. Kyogo, if he gets half a second to think, he knows either to play the pass or hit a shot. Dessers, I think, is still trying to figure that one out. But I think Dessers will come good for us. I do, but I think we need somebody to really push him.
I mean, I take that point on board as well. And Chris, I'll fire it straight back at you. sounding by yourself, there's not a lot of people, not a lot of Rangers fans who would have been sticking up for Cyril up until maybe a couple of weeks ago. So, Chris, is he starting to change fans' opinions on him?
I think what's happened, I don't think he's better than Kyogo, but I was just looking at the stats, and what the stats are telling us that he's got the same amount of goals and less games than Kyogo. I don't think he's the man to lead the line overall, but I think what's happened is when he first came in, and the guy Carrie B is responsible for the price tag that we paid for him. I think if he had been £1 million player, it maybe been a bit different, but I think he is starting to turn a few heads and maybe starting to turn doubters into believers a wee bit in terms of his performances. He's maybe scoring a wee bit regular. I think he's the type of player that maybe needs an arm round the shoulder, somebody to tell him that he's maybe better than what he is. And I think he's under Clement, he's really grown as a striker. I do think we do need someone else ahead of him, but I do sincerely think that he does have a part to play at this football club over the next few years.
I mean, excellent points, Chris. Thank you very much. As always, please make sure and phone in again. So there you go, folks. That's how easy it is. 0141 628 7237 to get your points across. Like I say, there's transfers to talk about. Obviously, we're going to go back over the St Mirren game. So there's a few things to talk about. But to keep the show going, we need your calls. 0141 628 7237. So, James, just carrying on that conversation about Dessers then. Have you noticed an improvement in him? Or is it one of these, he has a couple of good weeks and then we're going to, it's going to be another bad 4 or 5, 6, 7 weeks? Or do you actually see that Clement's making a difference?
For me, I'm probably in agreement with Kieran. He's kind of, he's that type of player, mate, that I always go back to Amoruso. When Amoruso had time to kind of think what he was going to do, he was a kind of a bomb scare at times, a big man. But when he does need, he's very, very good. You look at his two finishes against Hibs, I thought they were absolutely right at the top draw. He's finishing Saturday as well, I thought was really good. Takes it, a good touch, going to keep up and slots it away. But then he's working in the same game against Hibs, he's then getting an easier chance and fires it straight at the goalkeeper. I hope he does turn out to be that kind of striker that'll get his maybe 15, 16 goals a season, because obviously you need that as well, like with your backup. I think Dessers is a good striker to have coming up against your teams like your St Mirrens and your Hibs in the rest of the league. But we need that top class striker, mate, that's going to come in. You look at him across the city, two chances against us this season, and he's took the two of them, and the two of them were fantastic finishes, and that's what we need. We need somebody that's just going to get the one chance in a game, mate, that's going to win you the games, and hopefully take his own to win the league, mate. But on the game on Saturday, mate, for me, we won ugly, and it's something that we've not done for a long, long time, mate. We did through that under Beale, or get beat in the last minute or something, mate. Under Clement, there seems to be this fighting spirit in that game at all. I don't think we were under any pressure. I don't think we got out of second gear. Lundstrom broke it again. That's my dog getting him again tonight. But for me, I don't think we were under any pressure. We went out and done it. We got the 3 points, mate, back in the bus and back in.
Aye, right, okay, I take that point, Kieran, right, that absolutely you're not going to play well in every game across a full season. There's going to be games that you don't play. There's going to be games you drop points. There's going to be games you lose. And there's going to be games that you win ugly, right? And I completely understand that. But did the performance against St Mirren on Saturday have anything to do with the way that the manager set up? And also on top of that, if it is that, was the manager kind of out of options in terms of if he wants to rotate the squad, there wasn't really a lot he could do about it?
Yeah, Clement, I think, kind of his hands were tied a little bit with the players that he did have fully fit and available. The conditions are always going to play a part there. The pitch isn't great, so with the weather, etc., maybe he's a bit more reluctant to start the likes of Lawrence. Maybe playing Sterling on the left wing, I thought, was just a little bit strange. But I think that he did well to kind of nullify people coming down the left side as much, because St Mirren gave it their all. They did not stop from the first whistle to the last. They were chasing balls down that they were never going to get, but it was just to try and frustrate. Clement, like you were saying there, James, is I feel like that Clement has kind of built this team. He keeps mentioning Story, and more it looks like the players are buying into the story. He said it himself that the game wasn't sexy. The passing was really lackluster. It was really slow. It was very easily intercepted at times. But what I do think with the type of management that Clermont has is that he, no matter if a team's going to throw everything at us, we are going to stand there and we're going to manage to get the 3 points. Maybe not always a clean sheet, but back up the road. I think Clermont's way of doing it under previous management, we would have drew that game or inevitably lost. But I think Clermont is really kind of starting to put his stamp in that we are going to be robust and hard to play against.
Yes, but at the same time, James, I asked that question and I framed it in a way that I gave Clermont not an excuse, because the guy's not really put a foot wrong. He's only lost one game, right? But at the end of the day, he played Sterling at left wing, and Sterling can play either left back or right back or whatever. He started Scott Wright. He had to make substitutions at half time. So without me trying to, you know, just create a bone of contention and trying to get clips on X, Twitter, whatever you call it, even though I know for a fact that, see, when Robert put up that wee bit that said Desser's better than Kyogo, that's going all over, right? That's going to be some good advertising for the podcast, right? But did we look at Clermont at all for that, even though we won and go, right, don't do that again?
Well, for me, mate, it kind of proves that he's got trust in these players to go out and play in these positions. I thought he was obviously trusting the squad as well, but he knows himself, mate. It might even be a message to the board to say, look, I need bodies in. This is what I'm doing. I'm having to play your Scott Wrights. And again, Scott Wrights a decent player, but is he Rangers class? I wouldn't say so, mate. So I think it's maybe a message to the board to say, look, I'm needing this right winger and I'm needing that left back. I need help here. I'm obviously trying to what you're going with. And again, it's a message to the board for me as well, mate. But it's also good that these players can come in and actually play in different positions. Sterling, I when I first seen him, I didn't think he was a football player, but he's certainly making me eat my words. He looks an absolute great player, especially in the middle of that. I think we're in a position for that boy, you know. I think he loves a tackle, and that's something that we have been crying out now since Kevin Thompson. He's no scared to get and get stuck in about people, mate, and that's what I like about Sterling.
Aye, I mean, I think I had to go with somebody for saying that he should start over Raskin, Kieran. In fact, just as you say that, I'm going to bring back in Scott Kerr, who disappeared. I don't know what's going on with Kerr tonight, but Kerr, we were discussing the other manager's selection for Saturday and the fact that he played Sterling at left wing, he started Scott Wright, etc., 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 and James is making the point that he thinks that we've found a position. I can see Kerr's pure out of breath, man. We found a position for Sterling in centre mid. And I was having a go at, I can't remember who it was, for saying you would pick Sterling over Raskin. That's just crazy talk. At the end of the day, Sterling's a fullback and he's not a full-time central midfielder. But I think even I'm starting to change my opinion on that. And you're on mute.
I'm out of breath, Martin. Going up these stairs, trying to get a washing machine to get a mother so she can take it because it's soaking. I think he'll be used because I think he offers us something in the middle of the park. I thought when he was playing out wide, he done okay, but I thought a lot of times his awareness wasn't as good because he was kind of lost at times. But the manager's got a spot for him. You can see that how he's used him, and I think he'll get better. But I do think his position is now the centre of the park. I know he came in as a fullback, but I do think it's the centre of the park. He's probably going to be playing more for us, and he will beat fullback. And Martin's just left.
I had to turn off my heater. My face is about to go absolutely bright.
I think Raskin's a bit half just by. He's just coming back from injury. I think Raskin will come good, but his performances have been great of late. But he's the type of player I think the manager will use as well. Listen, it's good we've got a lot of players fighting for the same positions. That's what you need. You need competition. Not had that for a lot of years.
No, yeah, absolutely. Right, you take a breath, right? You just chill. You sit back and get your breath back. Those strawberry daiquiris won't help, but just get your breath back. Right, folks, we need your calls. 0141 628 7237. That's why we have a Monday night phone-in. to get your thoughts and to get your opinions. You help keep the show going. So yeah, 0141 628 7237. Would you start Sterling over Raskin? Or do you think we need to build up Raskin's fitness, get him in the team as much as possible? Maybe we need to give the captain a bit of a rest, although he seems to be in pretty decent form at the moment. But there's a great point being made, Kieran, from channel member Stephen. Don't see anyone taking points from us until the next Old Firm. Very few goals against, and we are scoring. Happy days. I must admit, halfway through that St Mirren game, I was kind of on the fence. You know, I'm a total pessimist of a man, and that's just the way that I was feeling. But it does feel as if since Clement's come in, there's been a change, and I must admit, as each week goes on, it feels as if, especially defensively, we're getting stronger.
Aye, so the way that I see it is, I think that it kind of starts for the confidence, obviously for the manager, coach and staff, but then for your keeper, we've got the likes of Jack Butland, who is making save after save, some fantastic, just different saves as well, not just kind of like the ones you'd expect for a standard keeper. Some of the saves he's making really must inspire the defence as well. Goulton hasn't been of the best recently. I didn't think Saturday was his best game. I thought Souter kind of really carried that defence pairing. I thought that he was throwing himself at everything. They were attacking more down the right side than they were the left. So that kind of says that all that Red fans coming into a wee bit of a game, that they're trying to go down the captain's side and Goldson's side. But I think it all stems to the goalkeeper having that presence behind you, commanding. He's commanding his area. And then I think that just travels further up the pitch. You've got the midfielders dropping back. Lunny's not having to babysit the defence all the time. He's actually, coming out and dictating play as well, but he can come back in if he needs. We've got players now that are not afraid to tackle. Like you said, Sterling, somebody's going to have to really try and get past him to be to be successful. He's not afraid to put a foot in. I think that it all starts with the keeper, and I think it's slowly building throughout the team, the confidence. And I think that's why we're playing a lot better and we're doing better from set pieces. That's one of the only things I can take.
Well, we have another phone call, and it is Jim and Kirky. And Jim, the floor is yours.
How you doing, guys? Good evening.
Good evening, Jim.
I've got a few points here. The first one's going to be about Sterling, and this is just my theory on the Sterling thing. On Saturday only, I think I said last week about Sterling kind of maybe potentially replacing Lundstrom in the middle of the park. Going forward, of course, Martin Wright, and I believe that still. I think the manager on Saturday, if you look at the conditions, etc., of the game, and anybody that's played in these conditions, I think he actually put him out on the left to protect Yilmaz a wee bit because of the height thing as well and the physicality. If you've looked at St Mirren in the past against us, there's guys like the Hara and that coming in the back post, scored a few goals against us. I think he actually tactically put him out in the left to protect Yilmaz, as I say, just because of the height. That's my first one. If you want to come back now, first, it's up to yourself.
No, carry on. I'm writing them down now, Jim, so I can remember what you said.
Well, my next one's Scott Wright. They're talking about Scott Wright. I actually quite like Scott Wright, and what I mean by that is we, as a club, need guys like Scott Wright, who are, this sounds ridiculous, though, quite happy if you like to sit on the bench. You're not going to be able to buy players at £2-3 million to sit on the bench. You've got to have guys in your squad that can do that. You've got to have players that are willing to do that, and I think Scott Wright's one of them. My next one is, do you guys think there's a possibility, particularly in Europe, that Jack Butland might go the Euros with England, particularly with Rangers? Maybe not so much in Scottish football, obviously, because we all know what happens there, but with the potential of playing in Europe, highlighted more in English TV, do you think there's a chance of that would happen? And also, Martin, this is one for you. Is there any chance that you might take the rabble out for a pint and go and tour somewhere?
That's me. Well, it's in the works. It's definitely in the works. I'm looking at places that I can do it, Jim. I was looking at Ibrox, and I inquired, and I nearly fell off my chair when I get the email back telling me exactly how much it costs to do a wee event in there. But it is absolutely 100% something that I'm looking at doing again, and I'm hoping to do it in the very, very near future. Right, I'm going to take the points to the guys then, Jim, and I think we'll start with the Jack Butland one, and I'll take that to you, Kerr. Is there any possibility, what Jim says, if we see some good performances for Jack in Europe, because obviously looking at Scottish football, the English don't really rate it, but if he starts playing really well in Europe, is there any chance he gets on that plane to, well, I don't even know if the Euros are getting held, but is there any chance he goes to the Euros?
It's in Germany, Martin, but hey, I think, listen, Jack Butland's up there with the English goalkeepers they've got at present. I mean, Nick Pope, there's Ramsdale, who's not got a game in Arsenal, there's Pickard, there's Pickford, sorry. So Jack Butland, I wouldn't say he's any worse than any three. But at this moment in time, I don't think he's in Southgate's plans, just because it's Gareth Southgate and Geeky's favourites that seem to be A3. If one of them goes missing, he brings in Dean Henderson, who struggled to get game bad places as well. So, listen to me, Jack Butland should be, but personally, I don't think he will, just because Gareth Southgate's a manager.
Jim, I want to throw this one back at you, actually, and get your opinion on it. You asked about Scott Wright, about, you know, needing guys in the team who are willing to be bit part players. Is Scott Wright good enough, Jim, for us to even be a bit part player?
I think he is, yeah. I think potentially is. I've just looked at, you know, the things he's done at Hampden recently for the club. And as I say, what I'm thinking with that one, Martin, is you have got to have players. You're not going to have, in this day and age, the Rangers that we are now, you're not going to have players coming off the bench. It's costing a lot of money. It's just not going to happen. A lot of money. You need guys like that. And I think he is good enough to be, and it sounds ridiculous, to be a substitute, if you like, and to be that. Because he has impacted games in the past. Again, as I mentioned earlier there, the games at Hampden in particular. And I thought he's done a decent job. So, aye, I think he is. I think he is good enough to play a part for Rangers. Not a starter.
I mean, I'll bring that to the guys in a wee bit, but I want to get, James, your opinion on Jim's first point, which was in the long term, i.e. end of season, maybe when Lundstrom's contract runs out, is Sterling his replacement?
Well, for me, he's not put a fat rang mate since he went into Middlesbrough Park, but I think Lundstrom's a guy that you still need to keep about, especially for his experience and the way that he's been playing under Clement. I think he's been one of Clement's best players. I think he's kicked on big time. He was struggling under Beale for whatever reason, but he's come in there, mate. Clement's come in, sorry, and transformed him again. He's that player, mate, that we've seen for the 6 months in the Europa League run. So for me, I think Lundstrom's one of the players that I would be keeping about, maybe on reduced terms or whatever, but he's certainly a player I would be keeping about. But Sterling has a fantastic replacement, mate, to come in there.
Jim, buddy, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. And you've probably gave me enough content now to do my half an hour. Thank you.
Thank you. No bother, guys. Have a good night. Cheers, buddy.
Right, speak to you soon, buddy. So I can only take one call at a time, folks. So see if you've phoned up and you don't get through, it's because somebody's on. So keep phoning and you will eventually get through. 0141 628 7237. And apologies if it's taken you a few times. I'm looking into some new software to hopefully get a few calls on at the one time to keep the producer a wee bit busier. But until I can sort that out, it is just one call at a time. So we don't get through right away. Keep trying. 0141 628 7237. Yeah, I'm looking at doing another. I actually put a message on the YouTube community page, the Rabble community page, about if people would be interested in it, because there's no point in doing it if folk aren't interested in doing a wee live show. So I'm definitely going to look into that and see if I can get something sorted. Who did I come to about the point? Oh, no, I went straight back to Jim with the point about Scott Wright, didn't I? I want to revisit that a wee bit, Kieran, because he made a good point. Jim made a good point about people aren't going to come, but we're not going to sign somebody for three or two, three, 4 million and them have be bit part players. So are we going to get any better than Scott Wright to be an impact sub?
I think obviously we could find someone better than Scott Wright to be an impact sub, but at the moment he's coming on, he's doing his bit when he has to. He scored against Dumbarton. Aye, it's only Dumbarton, but that's a goal. He's playing all right, he's doing okay. He seems to have quite a good relationship with the guys off the field as well. He's quite good for new players coming in. Yilmaz was saying So I feel like it's good as well having the Scottish quota as well, that we've got a homegrown player there as well if we need to bring him on in the European game. I feel like we could do better. His end product isn't brilliant, but he's a good enough player at the moment for where we are until we can get somebody better in, I believe, anyway.
Okay, well, the calls are coming in thick and fast tonight, which is good, because I think the last week, I think it was a wee bit slow in terms of the old calls. But we've got Rab and Penny Lee. Rab, how you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
Nah, no bad, buddy, no bad. What's your point for the guys?
I would definitely play Raskin over, Stirling over Raskin. I don't like Raskin.
Why no?
Because he's no good enough for us. He's always injured.
Well, actually, I think that's something that we kind of give him actually a free pass. Well, I think Rab's got a slight point there, Kerr, in terms of he's always injured. He has had quite a few injuries, Kerr, since he's came to the club. But Rab's just not having them at all.
Well, so did Stiller when he first came in, Martin. It took a while to play. So, listen, players come in and have injuries, don't have injuries. I think the problem, Raskin's come back with injury, he's not really performed like he did before. He got injured probably in the last season. It was the same with Camp, not to be honest with you. Then this season, he's not started that well. Stirling's get thrown in that position by Mitch Fortune, by mistake, whatever, lack of numbers at the time. But he's done really well, and he's proven he should be playing there. So, listen, I'd like to put him in there, but obviously, because we're buying the Monday, and we'll also get Jorlinstrom there. Like I said earlier, it's good having competition for places. A manager like that, because it keeps everybody on their toes. But I think Raskin's still got a lot to prove at Rangers and still got a lot to give as well. And still so Stirling as well. He's still got to prove it more over a more consistent period. But I like him at the moment. And I think at this moment in time, if you have to go between the two of them, depending on who you're playing, probably. But I think Stirling, to me, would probably get a jersey first. But Raskin, to me, still has to be in Cody Sumner.
Rab, in terms of the squad itself, obviously the transfer window's shutting in a few days. How do you feel about the squad as it is the now, and how many signings would you like to see brought in before it closes?
A couple more, and I'd like to get rid of Cantwell. Cantwell's got an ego, he thinks he's better off than everybody.
So you don't think do you not think Cantwell's good enough, or do you think it's just purely his ego that lets him down?
No, he just thinks he's too better off than people. I want the ball, then loses it. That's
no
good.
Well, that's an interesting point. I don't think really that I'd want rid of him necessarily. But Rab, thank you very much for the call, buddy. I appreciate that. I'll take that to the guys. James, Campbell's come in for quite a lot of stick, to be fair. Is it warranted? Is it justified?
He's not been setting the head on fire for me. But I wouldn't be selling Cantwell unless it was a big money offer that was coming in, because he's a guy that can turn the game, and he's proved it this year, especially in Europe, mate, when he takes the ball inside and just slots it into the bottom corner. He's a guy that will try stuff, but do you know what? I would rather my players were trying to do something rather than just sideway passes or playing the ball back. At least he wants to try and get the ball, mate, and get on it. Maybe it's the players around about him that aren't on the same wavelength as him. Maybe that's something. Again, I think it might be his confidence at the moment. And he might be carrying an injury, because he seemed to obviously pick up an injury against Hibs just before half time. And that could be niggling him. And you know what it's like. If you're not 100%, mate, then things won't come after you on the park. But for me, nah, I wouldn't be selling Campbell. He's too big a player, mate, to have for us just to get shorter.
I mean, there's Ian making the point. Campbell was off in the summer. Big Phil does not have a relationship with him. I mean, Kieran, that's not something that we can sit here and 100% say we know, is it? We can assume, because obviously he brought him off early, and I've seen Campbell maybe stare at him a couple of times. I don't know if that's just Campbell's face, but I mean, what does it say, the fact that we're talking about Raskin and Campbell, who were two of our, when they first came in, we were singing their praises, and now there's some fans considering letting them go?
I think the thing with Cantwell is, because Clemont's brought him off either at half-time a few times, or that game where he was brought off just later into the first half, I feel like he's not had a target on his back, but Cantwell gets involved with the stupid side of things. he'll be up and try to square up to a player or try and be mouthy. But like James was saying, I'd rather have a player that was playing for the badge 100%. He tries things. Yeah, if he loses the ball a couple of times, sometimes he's got that killer pass that can lead us to a goal or to an assist or just something that can get bums off seats as well. He's done pretty well for us since he's came in. He's not hit the heights as he was last season, I don't think, when towards the end. But I wouldn't say get rid of him or Raskin. I think they both still got points to prove. I think Clement does like Cantwell. He still gives him the arm around the shoulder when he comes off, whether that's half-time or at full-time. I don't think Clement's that type of person to isolate players from the group, especially if he's trying to build this story. I think, though, the type of Raskin, I think Sterling's playing better than him in that position. I wouldn't want Raskin sent away, but I do think at the moment Sterling's playing better than Raskin, and I think it's up to Raskin to fight for his place, to be honest.
He's also coming back for an injury as well. I don't think we can forget that. We do have another call, and I had to message the producer because he wasn't paying attention to the private chat that they've got, because he's just put Andrew in F. Burrow. So I was guessing it was Fraserburgh. And Andrew, I think I'm right.
Yes. It is. How are you doing, Martin?
Andrew, my friend, how are you? I'm great.
Yeah, fine, man, fine. Just keeping one step ahead of the bailiffs like you saw these days, Martin. But yeah, keeping fine, buddy. But I think what I was maybe beginning to see happen here, Martin and guys, would you say that Clement's now trying to dismantle the whole Beale sort of transfer shambles, by and large? Wasn't all bad, certainly not with Jack Butland, by all means, and Dijon Stirling, but there's been, I don't know, I'm not convinced that Cantwell will be there beyond the summer, nor Kieran Dowell either, and even Nico Raskin. I'm convinced they'll all go. We certainly need three or four faces in this window. They've got one, I don't know much, or where the boy Diamante is going to play, if he's going to be defensive or if he's going to be further forward. So I still feel there's a right winger, a left back and another centre forward to come. So what's your take on that? Do you think how far down the line is Philippe Clement's kind of, you know, influence now beginning to take over from Michael Beale?
I mean, I'll give you pass marks on the Clement. It wasn't quite spot on, Andrew, but I'll give you pass marks on it. And that actually, your question about your point about Diamante, I don't know how to pronounce that, so do forgive me. It's a super chat in for Brian as well. Thank you very much, Brian. Does anyone know if Diamante's signed yet? Yes, he has, along with an option to buy. So, James, what do you make of that then? Is Clement starting to kind of dismantle Beale's transfer mess?
It looks like it, mate. Obviously, with Cervantes, hopefully, going out the door, a player that we never, I don't think that we've seen the best of. Again, coming out for a foreign country, mate, it takes these guys maybe a bit longer than anybody else to settle in. Maybe it's just obviously the environment and stuff like that. Again, he didn't look up too much for me. The odd kind of burst 5-10 minutes that you kind of seen him. But I think obviously Clement is going down the right road now of getting rid of the, we're going to say dross. It was dross that Beale brought in, let's be honest. And he's looking at better players, mate, that are going to come in and actually know this. Oh, he's a good squad player. They're going to be starters for me. They're going to be coming in. They're going to be fighting in this. Oh, they're happy to sit on the bench. I don't want anybody at Rangers that's happy to sit on the bench, mate. That's not what we were built on. We're built on winners, mate. We're built on guys that come in and hit the ground running straight away. People forget the standards that Rangers have got. You need to come in.
It's not just standards, though, James. We don't have the finances to have 15 first-team, 16 first-team, proper first-team players. We need people who are not happy. But I think the previous caller was right. We need a Scott Wright. And I'm not saying we need Scott Wright, but we need a Scott Wright who's going to be happy to maybe get 15, 20 sub-appearances a season. And we can't afford, I was going to come on to, and I'll come back to Andrew in a wee second, James, but we can't afford to have a £3.5-4 million Dessers on the bench to come on and make an impact and score the odd goal. We just purely can't afford that.
No, I'm not saying that, mate. I'm just saying that we need better players. We need better all-round quality in that team. Whether somebody is coming off, somebody that's coming off for the bench to come on, is going to be just as good, if no better, than the player that's coming off the park. That's my thing. You seen it across the season, mate, 2 years ago. They took 3 players off, and it didn't change the way that they played. They still played the exact same way. They still went at teams, and the players that came off the bench for them were just as good as the players coming off the park. And that's what I want in my team.
Mm-hmm. No, listen, I completely agree with that. And Andrew, I need to come back at you on one thing that you said, and it was about Cantwell. And I want to ask you why. Yeah. Why do you think that Cantwell will leave at the end of the season?
I just feel that there's a lot of petulance there, Martin, at times. He picks up really stupid bookings. I know he gets frustrated. He probably does get kicked all over the place. That doesn't help, especially in Scotland. But, you know, I just sense something there that, you know, Clement does not always see what Cantwell's trying to do. Having said that, the boy scored 2 great goals, and you've seen a lot more of the positive Cantwell, but I'm not convinced. If the boy couldn't get a regular game at Norwich, I'm just not convinced. You know, there should be better for Rangers out there, but it'll be the summer at least, I think, Martin, before you see if anything there. So let's watch this space between now and the end of May.
And I also have to ask you, Andrew, before I let you go, I need to ask this, and I need your honest opinion, right?
Yeah.
Is Dessers good enough to be your number 9 for us to go and win the league? Or do you, because we're linked with all these, we're linked with a new left back, we've been linked with a new winger for Colombia. I don't see us linked with any strikers. So, but there's all this talk about Dessers and how we can score all these goals, and people are comparing these numbers. If we go into this, the end of this window, and we haven't brought in a striker, are we still going to be okay?
I would say you would need another striker as well, but I'm not convinced Rangers will pay £5 million for Lauren Shankland, who's about 29 years old, Martin. And I think, as the comments go, there's no resale value for somebody that age to spend £5 million, which is a huge amount of money for Rangers, let's be honest. But this is much improved. Certainly, he's looking more like a striker, but you know, you've got the other lad, the Portuguese boy they took out from Wolves, Silva. So I would have thought a third striker is not a bad investment.
Well, Andrew, as ever, thank you so, so much for the phone call, buddy, and we'll speak soon.
God bless. Nice to talk to you guys. Take care.
Cheers, buddy. Speak soon. I know for a fact it's going to be clipped up, man. The guy, Robert putting up that Dessers is better than Kyogo. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing. Oh, do you know, I don't really think we've spoke much about the new signing, deal. Does anybody know how to pronounce it? Anybody? I mean, you can just stare at me.
Diamondi.
Diamondi, is that what we're going with? Is that what we're going with?
I'm going to pronounce it differently. Just call
him Mohammed. Yeah, right, okay. We'll do that. And Kieran, seeing as you're new to the Rabble, seeing as this is your first show, were you surprised that the first signing we made was a central midfielder? And what do you think?
Absolutely.
Second signing, if you include Silva, sorry.
Aye. Everyone's screaming out for a striker. We need a striker. We need somebody that's going to put in the certain amount of goals a season, at least. We need somebody that's going to be consistent with the finishing. I think we're pretty well stacked in the midfield area. I don't know if maybe it was him preparing for Sifu to go and getting somebody else in the door, but I think we badly need a striker before we entertain a midfielder, in my opinion.
I mean, yeah, but just on Diamandé then, Kerr. What's your thoughts on him? I genuinely don't think I've really seen much about him, to be honest, but I'm hearing reports that people that have watched his YouTube videos say that he's the next world class midfielder. He's this, he's that. What's your thoughts on him?
No, got a clue, Martin, a bit like yourself. I didn't really know much about him. I'm not a football manager enthusiast as I used to be in my younger days, so a lot of folk had heard of him, but I'd never really heard of the boy until we were linked with him. Then obviously you'd do your research on a wee bit and look him up and see he looks decent. He's a good age. He's only 22. We need to bring players in. I say the players Clement is going for are young guys who he can bring in, improve, and then sell on. That's what we need to do as a business. And people don't like to spend class as a business, but basically that's what the club is, and that's what they're trying to do, so we can reinvest money into more players. So it's good that way. Are they going to be better than what they've got? Time will tell, because I don't know enough about him to say he's going to come in and be better than what they've got. We all hope he is. Especially, it's an obligation to buy, so we have to buy him. It's not an option, it's an obligation. So it's like we have to buy him anyway, no matter if he's good or bad in this loan spell. So
mix of Zidane and Ian Black. I mean, that's the perfect mix, that, isn't it?
So we just hope he comes in and does well. Listen, what we've seen, what we've heard, and I heard that the boy Coppin's been looking at him for a while, so it all sounds good. But listen, he's going to come in. It might take a bit of time to settle in and gel in, because it's halfway through a season as well. But listen, he's going to come in and play for Rangers. It's a heavy jersey in some players. The good thing is he's worn it before. Yes, he was younger, but he's worn it before. So he might know what it's like to wear it. So there you go. But no, I'm looking forward to the signings coming. I think he's going for a different type of signing, like I said. And it's good to see that. Not just going for maybe recycled players or guys tried and tested elsewhere, like Michael Beeldon or somebody he sat doing it because he played against him in a youth team when he was 16. So it's good that he's going for players out with that maybe we know about. But just getting back to what you said about Scott Wright, we need players like that in the squad, because we can't always go out and buy all these different players for different areas, because you need your Scottish quota. So something like Scott Wright's a great bit of business, because they're not getting a lot of money to go and reinvest in the full squad. So players like Scott Wright, Ross McCausland, I know he can put a set-up, so that'll help us. We've also got other youth players coming through into the team. They've been given a chance. Cole McKinnon, still got Leon Kingia, who I think might actually go out and loan. But Bailey Rice is still to get his chance, which hopefully he does if he can prove himself. So it's good to see that. If I bring in his players from this area, then we have to maybe put more trust in our youth system as well, which we're good to see.
I mean, right. 01416287237. I've just had a message from my producer. Just had a message for Robert to say, Curry, can you phone in? You've been trying and you just keep missing out. So if you phone in right now, Robert will get you and he'll get you on. He seems awfully sad. I can just see a wee window of him sitting there throwing a toy for his dog, back and forth. So, Curry, if you phone in, you'll get in now. Bring back Lammers Loyal RSC for Socrates in the comments. James, do you know, apparently he's doing really, really well out on loan at Utrecht. Fair play to him. But sometimes you just come to a country and it doesn't work. And all we can hope, really, I suppose, is that he goes there, does really well, and they want to buy him.
Yes, I hope he continues to play out his skin for them, and we get our money back from him, mate. So good luck to the guy. Didn't work out for him here, but I hope he goes and has a blinder in Holland and we get our money back from him.
I'm very aware that he's no scored yet, Stephen, but apparently he's been assisting and he's been playing really, really well. So stop trying to put him down, Stephen. If there's anybody for you to watching this, you know what I mean? He's actually phenomenal. It was just the weather he couldn't handle. That's the only reason he never played well. So, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Kieran, somebody who I don't think we've ever spoke about on this podcast, Coppin, new director of football, or whatever the terminology is, I don't know. People are pointing out his record on bringing players in is phenomenal. We're looking at Hefty, and we're looking at Cortez, Young, South Americans. Are you happy with A, the getting Sylvan, the business that it looks like he's going to be doing, and B, the markets now that we're shopping?
I think, to be honest, we've just got to trust them. Time will tell if it's going to be good or if it's going to be a dud. Silva, he must have some sort of potential to go to that fee for, to Wolves. He's not just going to go there for that amount if he's got nothing. So I think that there is something in Silva that maybe has not been, well, obviously not been unlocked yet because he's not scored for us yet, but I think he's more of a creative player than a goal scorer. I wasn't familiar with Mills before. I didn't think that we were actually ever going to get anybody in, to be completely honest. I really was kind of, they kept saying, oh, it's going to happen in due course, etc. But I wasn't exactly confident. So the first person that got the job, I thought, well, aye, let's see. He can't be any worse than Bale. At least he's not going to the stadiums, sitting a player down and looking in their eyes and saying, I think you should play for Rangers. I think there's more structure than that. So only time will tell, but I hope it's positive.
I mean, yeah, listen, every signing's a gamble, as Kerr always says. Kerr doesn't let you get through a conversation without him reminding you about that. 01416287237, please do get your calls in now. We've got about 10 minutes left of the show. Robert's wait. Oh, I can't say what I was going to say there. The show would be shut down if I said that. And yeah, a very, very quick one, actually. Happy birthday, George Alberts, who was one of my favourite players growing up, Der Hammer. Kerr, we could spend a full podcast speaking about George Alberts and just how good he was for Rangers Football Club. I'm just glad that I was of an age where I could see him.
Oh, he was phenomenal, Martin. He was really good. And listen, he had bad games as well, so just before he did have bad games, but he had really, really awesome games. And we all knew as soon as he got free kicks or shooting outside the box, we all trying to take a shot. But he was just, he just loved it here, didn't he? He came to Scotland, he settled in straight away. He played in a few different positions for us, but he was always played really well. For a big guy, he wasn't the most physical at times, but he was a big guy, but he was sulking apart, like I said, the goals against Celtic. We just had a good team at the time, Martin, but George just kind of capped it off, so he did. And it was good to see, and it was great to see him not that long ago, and but he was back now, I didn't have a cigarette at the time outside, so there you
go. Smoked while he played for Rangers, I used to.
I know he did, but he's still smoking. Everybody's into the vapes now, but no, George, he still lights his flags by all accounts.
I grew up in Mount Florida. That's where I grew up.
Him and Knieja used to have a 20-pack each at half time.
Well, see the high flats in Mount Florida right across from Hampden. There's a pub called, which I'm sure most people watching will know, it's called the Florida Park.
Right.
I can't mind if it's always been called. I can't mind if that's what it was called when I was younger. But my mom went for a night out one night and she went into the Florida Park and there was Alberts and the rest of the Rangers team. This is when he played for Rangers. And all he did all night was sit at the bar and smoke. That's all he done. He was a heavy smoker back then.
That was a long time ago, smoking inside a boozer.
Well, aye, it was a long time ago. Do you ever remember in the boozers when, like, I was obviously just about at the age to drink, I think, when they brought the smoking ban in. So I remember going into the pubs and that, and it would just be big smoke rings above your heat. Do you remember that? Oh, it was brilliant, man. Absolutely.
You used to hide your specs when you wore them. You walk in for the cold. Nobody would know your specs have teamed up because of the smoke, but now you can't hide it.
I've never wore specs, so I wouldn't know. James, the second part of that comment, can we get a player like him again? We couldn't afford George Alberts now, James, could we?
Never. No, I don't think we could, mate. But see, even at 53, mate, I'd take him ahead of Lammers any day of the week as well, mate.
The thing about Big George was he was actually quicker than folk realised. I mean, he wasn't the fastest, don't get me wrong, but he was quicker than
folk. Big legs are all, mate. I mean, for everyone, the stride that he used to take used to cover people's maybe four or five strides, man, that they would have. The goals against Celtic, mate, alone, the man at Park Keep, mate, sent us into the final, but he beats it, and then he does it the following week again at Ibrox. It was just, the guy just oozed class. There was just something about him, mate, that, but I always think that left-footers are always look more classier, though, football players, you know, you David Cooper.
I'm left-footed, so that just proves that I look class.
But Big George, man, he was a great big player, man. He's, and Ms. Kerr was saying, mate, you knew any free kick for 30 yards, mate, he was having a smashy goal for you. If he didn't score, mate, he was taking somebody out in the ball anyway, so.
Or he was knocking somebody's teeth out and getting a penalty for it, which was just
brilliant.
I'm not sure if this is a wind-up, but apparently we've got Robert in Glasgow. Robert, how you doing?
I'm okay, lads. How are yous?
Yeah, not too bad, buddy. Not too bad, buddy. My producers wrote, stop messing, we need Shankland.
Yes, I definitely think we need Shankland.
So you think
the defense is picking up, but
what
do you think?
So you think if we don't sign Shankland, we don't win the league?
Well, it's defense is doing all right. We still could, but we need another striker.
I mean, Kieran, I've got to agree, right? Whether it's Shankland or whether it's somebody else, I'm not particularly sure, because we're just all going in the assumption that Clement wants Shankland, right? But I do have to agree with Robert that, you know, we do need another striker.
Yeah, I agree. I do agree with Shankland. He knows the league. He's scored against all these teams. He knows the conditions. He knows what he's going to be playing against. And he can handle 55,000 people. Shit. I'm seeing them laughing. I thought I'd done something there.
Just ignore them. Ignore them. They're children.
No, I agree. I want Shankland. Personally, I want Shankland. I think that he'd be a good fit for us. And I think that without him, maybe he's not going to guarantee that we win the league, but I think we certainly do need a striker to challenge Dessers. I don't think the contributions he makes per game is going to win us the league, but somebody like Shankland, I think you're guaranteeing a lot more goals in there.
And Robert, how do you feel then about the players that we're being linked with? Obviously young players, South American players. Do you like the way that the club are starting to approach transfers now?
Yeah, it's a lot better now because you're getting younger players and you can get them for a good bit of money than sell them for more money. That's the way we should be going with Rangers.
Does that now then go against us getting Shankland in, if that's the way the club's going to go? Or do you think it's a case of, well, not every player can be brought in to be sold?
Yeah, but Shankland knows Scottish football, so he'd be good at putting goals in for us.
That's a given. I tend to agree. Robert, thank you so much for the call, buddy. Make sure you phone in again. Much appreciated. Do we sitting around here, do we think that the manager's actually interested in Lawrence Shankland? Because that's all I've been hearing is Shankland this and Shankland that. And see, I'm always of the opinion that players that you're continually linked with, how do you keep continually linked with them with different managers? You know, we're sitting here with the assumption that Clement's interested in him.
I'm still waiting Alan Smith signing. We're always linked with him. and we'll be Phil at some points as well. I just think Lawrence is playing in Scotland. He's scoring goals up here. Rangers fans quite like him because he's a Rangers fan as a kid. So it's like he's scoring goals. You know, he would want to play with us and we need goals to win stuff. And you see something in your doorstep because you like to bring in some Scottish players as well. And I think it just, the media have said it as well, haven't they? Some papers have said it, some journalists have said it. So I think everybody's either getting down to it and make five, or we are interested. I mean, by all accounts, we were, but I don't know if the value is an issue, Martin, because if he's only getting a certain amount to spend, he's having to move other players about in the squad to try and make room for us to come in, like maybe moving Cifuentes away. There's always all this talk about Lindban still going, will he go, will he not go, we don't know, but just to bring others in. So it's quite a lot to bring Shetland in for that money. I know Lawrence wages aren't as big as maybe other players in our squad, but it's the money and the Hearts. I've got every right to ask for that money because he's their player, and without him they might not get into Europe, and they might not, do you know what I mean? So they've got a right to do that, but I don't know. I would like to see him at Rangers just to see what he could do, because I think it's where he's always wanted to play. Obviously, we all do as well, but he's got a slight chance better than us. So I'd like to see him just to see if he could score the goals. But we all know he could come to Rangers and freeze, and after 3 or 4 weeks, everybody's in this boy shouting he's not good enough. Because that's what happens when you're a football fan. But
No, listen. I'm happy to play for Rangers and play up front, right? But I struggle to get off the couch, right? So it's not just a case of wanting, it's a case of you have to be good enough. And maybe he is, maybe he isn't, I don't know. Right, very, very quickly, 0141-628-7237. You'll be the final caller on the show. If you phone now, you'll get straight through. Robert will take the call and he'll get you onto the show. Right, James, we've been. What's the word I'm looking for? Hefty. We've been linked with Hefty or Hefe. I don't know how to pronounce his name, right? Young Brazilian. That would mean we've got two Brazilians in the team. Left back.
James loves a Brazilian, I heard.
James does. Every Thursday. Another Brazilian in the team. Left back. right? Now, it's not, this hasn't been linked as a young player that's going to come in and play for the B team for a few years, etc., blah, blah, blah. This is somebody coming into the first team who might not necessarily be a starter every week, but he's at least coming to be on the bench and be a bit of a rotation player, right? So, James, that means that we would then have three left-backs. We would have Borna Barisic, Radovan Yilmaz, and Heffi, right? So you can see where my point's going here, James, right? As I wait for somebody to phone 01416 287 2370 to get on the show. If that's the case, and we're linked to him when he comes in, James, at the end of the transfer window, who's going to be the left-backs at our football club?
Well, I've did it for a wee while. I still think Borna's going to get a new contract. I've said it for a few weeks now that, and I think Radovan will unfortunately leave as much. I think the boy's starting to come onto a game now, just at probably the wrong time. Somebody's going to come in and take the boy away. Although, for me, I would let Borna go and keep Radovan. But I think, obviously, as obviously Kerr was saying earlier on, you can only sell the players that people that are interested in buying off you. So, unfortunately, I think it's going to be Radovan out the door and we'll be left with Borna and Heffi.
I think that would be a massive mistake, Kieran, and I'll tell you why. Yilmaz has started to come onto a game, and I get he's had injury problems in the past, right? But if we bring in this new boy, 20 years old, probably never even heard of Scotland, right? He's coming into our league. He's definitely going to need time to settle. Somebody put it in the comments that Brazilians coming into Scotland don't exactly have the best track record, right? Now, if we then sell Yilmaz for whatever we sell him for, and it's Borna and this young boy, I'm not comfortable finishing with day two for the rest of the season. It doesn't fill me with confidence. Whereas Yilmaz is playing well. He's only going to get better. He's still young. I would rather have two fit and hungry young left-backs than have Borna.
Aye, so personally, I don't want Borna to get a new contract. I think he's been a great servant to the club the time he's been here, but the last couple of seasons, he's not offered as much as he did previously. Aye, he's getting a bit older, but all Borna's got now is crossing. He's got a really good cross, but whenever somebody comes to him, he turns and passes it the other way. It just seems to be a running theme that Borna, he'll either put a fantastic cross in, like for the cup final. He beats his man, plays a great ball in, and Tav gets the goal. But he's not doing it consistently enough. I personally think Borna's time's up. It'd be silly to it would be silly to sell Yilmaz in this window.
Like say you
that said, again. I can't know you're going to say that as well. It's a tongue twister. I think that if we sold Yilmaz in this window, I think that we're making a mistake. If Heffi comes in and he can't settle, or for some reason he just can't get going, or he's not what we're making him out to be, and then we are stuck with Borna, I feel like we're then going back to square one.
Kieran's pretty much copied what I said, Kerr, but that's my firm belief as well.
Your firm belief, Martin, is we don't know what happened till the end of the transfer.
Oh, here we go, man. We care. And you're never allowed to work with assumptions, we care. You're never allowed to
work with assumptions. Always winds up. Listen, we all want Radovan to stay, but I think there's too much smoke and mirrors with Radovan, and I don't know what's happening. We don't know. I mean, by all accounts, papers are reporting he does fancy a move to Galatasaray, that's right, and our people saying he doesn't. So we don't really know what's happening. Listen, I hope he does stay, and I hope Borna's the one that eventually does go, because I think Radovan's shown last few games what he can offer, especially goalie took the army against Hibs, which was a superb finish. And I think there's more the guy can do in the first team, and I think he's enjoying playing with us, but he just don't know what's happening behind the scenes. I don't know if he'd like to go back to Galatasaray. That must be a big draw for him, Martin. He's Turkish and one of the biggest clubs.
Here we go. Right,
don't rant, man.
Hear me out, right? There's loads of people online, there's loads of newspapers, there's loads of people on Twitter who, and not everybody, but the people who I'm talking about, I would imagine they know who they are, spouting nonsense, pretending they're in the know, pretending they know this, pretending they know that, and then it sometimes turns out they're talking absolute mince when they're talking about the sources that they've got, Right? There's too many of these idiots on Twitter. Right? There's too many of these people pretending they're in the know so people will follow them and like them and retweet their stuff. Right? Nobody really knows what the hell's going on right now. Right? People are just surmising and guessing. At least we've got the honesty on here to say that we don't know. But there's people out there. I mean, see, the only people, to my knowledge, right, who really know what's going on at Rangers is Heart and Hand. And that's because they go to the club and ask and they just report back what the club telling them. There's other people out there who just make up nonsense about our football club. And it's not even fan media. It's people who pretend to be fan media. But yeah, no, that's the thing that frustrates me, Kerr. We don't know what's going on. We can only surmise.
We can only surmise, and that's what we're doing. So we all hope Red Van stays after Thursday's window shuts, because it is in the first, isn't it? So we hope he stays and we bring this guy in. He learns from Red Van, and maybe Bonner's the one at Thursday. I don't think Bonner will get a contract. I think we're trying to bring Newcastle the squad down as well. I think that's what Clement's going to do. I think it'd be silly again. Bonner a new deal, even if it was just a year, unless we give him a year's deal to sell. That was the only reason I can see, but I don't think he should be getting one. I think we should let him go and he can go somewhere else to play his trade and get a contract for himself. Listen, he's been a good servant for us, but I think it's time he moved on. He's not the only player, right? And I think there's a few players still left with us. It's been about for a while, so. But Bank Burners, we've seen his best, and I think he deserves a new challenge, and so do we.
I know. And look, Yilmaz might go. He might not go. We don't know. There's been loads of reports linking Cifuentes with a move as well back to Turkey. We don't really know what's going on there. We'll need to wait and find out what's happening in the coming days. Everybody, stop putting in who you think I'm talking about, because you know who I'm talking about, but I'm not going to say it because it will get clipped up and put out there. And you know exactly who I'm talking about. But there we go. So thank you, everybody. Thank you, Kerr. Thank you, James. Thank you, Kieran. Thank you, everybody who phoned in. It was a really busy phone-in. That makes it worth it. It makes it all worthwhile. So please, on a Monday, keep phoning in, folks. A massive thank you to Robert as well in the background for dealing with the calls. Thank you to everybody who put in a super chat. Your support is of phenomenal. It's phenomenal and mind-blowing. And we'll be possibly back. I don't know if we're going to have a transfer special. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. I'm going to see if I can get that sorted. If not, we'll be back on Friday for just our normal Friday night pod. And then, of course, we're back at the weekend for our build-ups and our reactions. I'm not saying who I'm talking about, right? So, yeah, thank you, everybody, for watching. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Your support, as always, is loved and adored. So thank you very much, and we'll speak to you again very, very soon.
Podcast Network.